So, purpose. What is our purpose? One of the beauties of these programs is they give you purpose immediately, because we're not to do it alone, and everyone we do it with benefits from our recovery. They benefit from the knowledge that and the evidence that people can change just by virtue of knowing you, for instance, or anyone else who's been in recovery for any length of time. You can see the changes, you can feel the changes, you can experience them with the person. So purpose, I think, is often for the recovering person is that they keep in recovery, in that recovery automatically benefits all of those in recovery. So it's like, you know, we hear in scripture all the time, we're all part of the same mechanism, and, you know, whether that be the church or the universe, if that's the way people believe, we're all part and parcel, and one piece of the parcel hurts, the whole parcel hurts. So if that piece of the parcel is working towards health and goodness and wellness and so on, then that person is automatically doing good for the rest of the parcel, the rest of the universe, the rest of God's people, if that's how you believe. So there is purpose there. I think sometimes there's special purposes. Mine, for some reason, is being in prisons. I don't know why that is, but I know that's where it works the best for me, you know. Have you found anything beyond the program that's especially purposeful? I mean, do you feel, I mean, you get your boys for one thing, so I mean, that's always on your mind, I know it is. You know, that they receive the right whatever it is they need, everything. Their dad, as much as they can, you know, is allowed to be available, etc. You know, that's a purpose, you know, raising a family. Do you have anything other than the
honestly,
obvious?
Honestly, that's the answer I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I mean, I go to the program, but I've had two sponsees.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, every sponsee turns up sick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they become sick. I don't know why. And then they disappear. But that's how I was once upon a time.
Yeah.
But I haven't dropped them. I said, you have my phone number.
Yeah.
You can always reach me, contact me anytime you want. But there is boundaries that I need to set up.
Yeah.
I cannot go back and try and do everything with you guys the way you guys want it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be according to the guidelines of the program. The way I look at it now, they say, oh, no, you need to sponsor somebody so that, you know, you can better yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to go running after somebody and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be a sponsor.
Yeah.
Or I can help somebody else on this because I understand addiction.
Yeah.
Like when my sister came out,
mm-hmm,
and said that she was an alcoholic,
mm-hmm,
I could relate to her, what the problem was with her.
Yeah.
And I couldn't explain things to her. But
same
of course,
family.
Yeah. But there's always that big word, denial.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she struggles with. I'm not going to, I mean, judge or project her as something like, but I know she's struggling with that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd help out as much as I can. I do go, once a month I go to a place called Bala.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's a rehab center called Greenstone.
Yeah.
So I drive a speaker there. And last Sunday just went there, I spoke there. I took a couple of guys from the program who were new in the program just to give them the feel of what it is, that service. So if that is my way of giving back or showing people, you know, that there is a chance to recover, there is an opportunity, you know, where you can have a better life, rather being enslaved to something that is destroying everybody's life, especially in Barrie, youngsters. Why not?
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. Let me read something here, Rash. I think you had a look at it, but if I can find my eyes here, we'll be able to. Okay, and this is, again, it's about this step, and it comes from the Life Recovery Workbook. By the way, the whole Life Recovery series, whether it be the workbook, the Life Recovery Bible, the Life Recovery Devotional, are all books put out by Stephen Arterburn and David Stoop down in the States, and they've got a following that's just huge these days. And anyway, we follow basically what they do and what they say. We have our own slant on things, but we keep pretty much to their sense of a recovery group of one kind or another. This part is interesting here. It says, no matter how scary or uncomfortable it may be, we can become willing to make new, to take new actions toward fulfilling God's will, or your higher power's will, or your spiritual component's will. And it says here, and watch the word feel. We may not feel like being honest where we have been dishonest. And one of the things I was saying, thinking about you and sponsees, is that I know you, and you'd be totally honest with them. And sadly, most people aren't ready for that. You know what I mean? Like, and most people don't make it. So, I mean, you know, when we know the numbers and the odds, we can kind of put aside that sort of thing as part of the game. You know, if you were to get your first two and they stayed sober forever and stayed with you, that would be the miracle of all time, because it just didn't happen. We don't have 100%. You know, there is no cure, let alone a cure rate. So becoming willing to take new actions toward fulfilling God's will. We may not feel like being honest, blah, blah, blah. We may not feel like being considerate when we have been selfish. We may not feel like courageously facing our problems head on instead of running from responsibility. But when we become entirely ready, and that's what this step says, we're ready to have these defects removed. Entirely ready, we're willing to allow God to help us to be and to do what we have been unable to do on our own. You know, and when we willingly do our part by living rightly in the moment, best we can, these things are magically removed, and we know it's a spirit far greater than our own that makes it happen. Over time, our defects are replaced with character strengths. I find that very lifting, you know, to know that this readiness is, again, you know, we don't know when we're ready. Our only knowledge of that is when all of a sudden we don't have, you know, whether it's an urge, whether it's a habit, a bad behavior that doesn't seem to have the control it used to have. It's kind of slipped away. And like a lot of things, and, you know, it's like you're taking a vitamin, you take it for 20 years, and for some reason it falls off your list of things to replenish. And the first thing you know, 2 years later, you're not taking this thing, but you feel okay. You know, there's got to be something behind it, or you never need it in the first place. I don't know. But I think the bottom line here is that feelings are not the criterion to use for our decisions and all that. We learn that in these programs. If we went totally by our gut or our feelings, we'd be going by who we are as opposed to what the right thing to do is. And to know what the right thing to do is, we need a roadmap. And, you know, you said you might use scripture and, you know, in the program, it's success, it's evidence. I mean, there are millions on this earth, literally probably 10 million people today throughout the world doing, you know, a 12-step philosophy of one kind or another, and they have sobriety from whatever the issue is that they're trying to get a handle on. So we know it works, and there's not much out there that can say, no, we have millions, even today, who are doing this and who are sober because of this sort of a program. So, you know, that in itself, if people know that, they're not going to throw it out the window and say, yeah, it's too much of this, too much of that. And for that very reason, we brought the steps together with scriptural meeting. And, you know, as you said, you need both components. And, you know, how you believe is one thing, but you have to believe in something. You know, and I was at something very recently, and I saw a whole bunch of people testifying to how whatever they did or thought was the answer to, you know, to all of this sort of thing. And it was almost all... Well, you got to love yourself more, or you got to, you know, reach out in this way or that way. But it was all about, you know, feeding me, you know, with other people and things, and had nothing to do with anything spiritual, you know. And I just felt, and it's just me, I guess, but I felt vacant in there. You know, it was like, you know, my answers to all things fall in that realm to a degree, or, you know, varying degrees, but there's always that aspect in it, you know, and without that, I don't even like the, I'm not comfortable. I need a spiritual aspect to everything I do because that's who I am. But these people didn't seem to think they needed anything, and I didn't feel like any of them really were successful in recovery. You know, I didn't get that sense, whereas if I'm in, you know, one of your guys' meetings or one of those conventions where a bunch of 12-step, you know, you can feel the sense of God working in those places, you know, or whatever your sense is of that. And everybody goes that way. Everybody says that. So, like, you mentioned it when we just started here today, you know, you can't have one without the other, and you had to find it a certain way. You had to, you know, spend time with us and then go out and do the practical stuff with other guys in the same boat, and, you know, it works for you. But you can't take one away, can you? You know, and I don't know. What's your take on that?
I totally agree with what you're saying. But you got to, I have got to love myself. At least learn to love myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But not to a point where you stand in front of the mirror and, you know.
Wow.
Well, I look great. Who's that?
Well, that's okay, too.
Not to that extent.
Yeah.
Because then you're displacing God.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned is never to put, I mean, it might sound very weird, but never to put a human on a pedestal.
Yeah, true. True.
Never, ever do that. I mean, people say, oh, I worship my parents, which is fine. Yes, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I went wrong in my life, is I put myself and everything on the pedestal, and I gave God the second place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be a Bible-thumping person here, but I'm talking from my point of recovery where I've come to today.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I look at my life.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the way, I displaced that myself with a bottle of booze.
Yeah, I know you weren't reading too much, but you were still, even when I knew you through some of that, you were still, for the most part, into your scriptural stuff to a degree, you know. So you're always aimed at trying to get past that, you know. So I think that's a good thing, you know. None of us are totally imperfect or totally perfect, obviously, but you know, I think you're doing a great job, and I think we're just about ready to wind up here. I don't know if you've got any final words for the people out there who may or may not feel they need recovery, or may feel that they're lost and that recovery can't help them. Is there anything? What do you say when a new person comes to you and, you know, wants to, in a sense, be a sponsee, you know, wants you to sponsor them? I mean, how do you handle it?
Well, always when somebody comes in the rooms, they're always disgusted with themselves. That's how I felt once upon a time.
Yeah.
And what I ask them is, how desperate do you want to change in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go back the old way, or do you like a change? Do you want to see life in a much different perspective? Do you want to love life?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they are desperate enough, then they will do anything to have that kind of a life.
Yeah. What's that saying in the, you guys use there, if you're willing to go to all lengths, you know, to achieve, well, it's been said somewhere in the big book there, if you'll go to all lengths to have what we have, then you're ready to take certain steps.
Yeah. Certain steps. I don't remember all the stuff in the big book.
I don't.
My little bag of recovery tools that I use. It's something small and something things that my sponsors taught me and what I've learned listening to people sharing. And I go with that. And that's what I'm going to share with my sponsees.
Yeah.
Whether they want to accept it, that's up to them.
I like that, Dr. Bob's prescription there for sobriety. Dr. Bob, folks, was one of the co-founders of AA. So, he said, when a friend asked him, I can't stop doing this stuff. I'm just, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I just can't stop no matter what. Have you got a prescription? Can you give me something? And Bob wrote on his prescription pad, because he was a doctor, he was a surgeon. He wrote, who operated many times drunk, by the way. But anyway, he said it's threefold. He didn't say it. He wrote this on the prescription pad. Number one, he said, trust God. Number two, clean house.
And help others.
Number three, help other people. And I think we forget that third component so often, because if we really take the focus, like you said, away from self and onto those other people, we'll get healthier. It's the way it works. And hardest thing to do, but I mean, it's like telling people, you're hurting really bad, well, go help somebody else. You know, it's our friend, the depressed guy that I use all the time, but I know he's always more depressed than me. So when I'm really down, I phone him, you know, and I go out and listen to him. And I know after our meeting's done, after our coffee's done, he'll feel better, I'll feel better, and I'll be glad I went. But that's so hard to dig down and call that person.
You feel better now?
Yeah, he's not you, believe me. Well, with that, folks, I think we'll laugh our way off here and look forward to getting with Raj and with you again real soon. Thanks all for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you will share it online. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.